Welcome back to Downtown. Paula Poundstone wears many hats, author, host of the podcast Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, actress, frequent panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And most importantly for our listeners, with two shows coming up in Maine on Friday, September 6th in Brownfield, and again on Saturday, September 7th in Bar Harbor, she is a comedy legend. Paula, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the last time you were on was just after Bastille Day, and we talked a little bit about the hoverboard riding Frankie Zapata. Did you see shortly after that that he has made a crossing of the English Channel on that board?
Oh, no, I didn't. But I hope that I told you that, you know, certainly I don't get paid for this interview, but, you know, a nice compensation would be one of those boards.
They are very cool, and you did mention it last time, and we passed that preference for either a hoverboard or chocolate cake onto our friend of downtown, Amy Rader, who's the executive director down at the Criterion Theater in Bar Harbor, and I can verify that one of the two will be waiting for you next Saturday.
I have a feeling I'm going to be flying a chocolate cake. boy, that does look so cool. And by the way, no, I have no memory. My short-term memory is just, it's not there anymore. I don't know what happened to it. I think it's stress. Aging isn't helping, I'm sure, but I do think it's largely stress because I've had memory problems for years. When my kids were little, I used to sometimes drive past the house, and my kids would say, "You're driving past the house," and I would turn and say, "Who the hell are you, and what are you doing in my car?" So it's not a new thing, having memory problems.
But. Well, yeah, the more you have on your plate, I think the harder it is to keep track of everything that's there.
Honestly, I don't know how anybody did. You know, I'm reading a book about Marie Antoinette, and they just did nothing for themselves, the royalty. And by the way, that was not her choice. Let me just come to Marie Antoinette's defense for a minute.
I think long overdue.
That was not her choice. They were, there were certain traditions behind the court in France, and that was one of them, was that everything got done for the royalty. I was thinking about it. She was 20 years old, I believe, when she became queen. Not when she went there, not when she was first a princess, but when she became queen because the king died. I think she was 20. And, you know, take an American girl who's 20, who already thinks the world revolves around her. It was a recipe for disaster for sure.
Sort of a no-win situation for her, and
it kind of was. I mean, I have all my kids are young adults now, but you know, if my girls from their teenage years, there is a brain development thing where they don't necessarily think of others a lot. And me too. I shouldn't just say them. I think I certainly went through that as well, where I just had a thing where I thought about myself a tremendous amount. And let them eat cake isn't far away from that.
Well, you just need to round up a couple of ladies in waiting, and then you can take some of that pressure off and keep track of stuff better.
Yeah. She had someone to put on, like, her nightgown. She had someone, you know, like, and I don't think they were the same person who dressed her in the morning. You know, there was, like, there were shifts. There's someone who put on our nightgown. I don't even own a nightgown, for heaven's sakes, and that's because I'm not staffed well enough.
Now, after the French Revolution, you got to think the people that had those jobs, the nightgown dresser, had a little trouble finding work after that. You would think.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of, plus you didn't really want that on your resume. I have to staff up. I have 13 cats. Not one of them will dress me.
They got to get a little bit of training, I would think.
Yeah. People think you can't train cats. And by the way, that is not true. I use a water pistol and it does work. You can't train them to do extraordinary things, but you can, but you can get them off the kitchen counter.
I will pick up a squirt gun because mine just will do nothing that I ask him to do. He just stares at me blindly.
Yeah, well, a scorpion kind of does work for negative behaviors. It doesn't mean they won't do it while you're not there, but you know, in front of you, you can.
That's really the best you can hope for with a cat.
Yeah. Yes. Now I have I have two dogs. I have one that's a German Shepherd mix, and one that is a puppy that is part what is she? Part Golden Retriever and part Newfoundland. And she's only about 7 months old, but she's about the same size as the German Shepherd. And yesterday morning, she's very good. She tells me when she needs to go out. I sleep on the floor. So yesterday morning, I woke up with her face over mine at 7:10 in the morning, and then she just dropped one of those big Kong things onto my face.
That's one way to wake up.
It's great. You don't get that at a hotel. You don't go, could you drop the Kong on my face at 7:10, please?
Now, yeah. I have to talk with you a little bit about your wonderful podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, that you do with Adam Felber. There's so much to love about it as a listener, but what's your favorite thing about creating the podcast?
My favorite thing is that there are no suits. You know, you're not answering to anybody. So you just, if you have an idea and you think it sounds like fun, you know, you throw it up on the wall, and the only problem is there's not a lot of ways of measuring response. You know, I mean, it's really just me and my co-creators, and you know, it's and the engineer, you know, we're like, yeah, we think that's funny. So in that way, it's sort of a person who's been, I've been doing my job for 40 years, and it's a very, as a stand-up, I have a very instantaneous response,
right.
And, you know, and it guides me, you know, it's sort of the North Star of the performance is obviously the audience's reaction. Now, in a podcast, you really don't have that at all. All you have is, like, on Facebook, we have a Facebook page for the show, and people will occasionally write stuff. And I always say to my manager, and the co-producer, Bonnie, Captain Crinkle Burns, when, you know, she'll go, oh, we got a lot of response. And I'll go, well, what does that mean? And she'll say, well, two people wrote in. I go, you know, scientifically, it's not a data point at all. So that part is a little challenging, figuring out if you're on the right track or not. But we're having fun. I guess that's the best you can ask for. I'll tell you, you're not going to pay your rent with a podcast.
No, but I'll give you feedback from my point. As much fun as you guys are having doing it, it's that much fun to listen to.
Oh, that's really nice to hear. Thank
you
so much.
Yeah, I do enjoy it. There were a couple things in the latest one. Now, Adam, when you were talking about your shopping trip
in Manchester.
Now, he immediately, red and white stripes, he went to Clown Pants, and I want to come to your defense a little bit here. My mind immediately went to Uncle Sam Pants.
Well, there. See, that's because you have a lot more respect for me than does Adam Felber. you're both wrong. I mean, I wasn't describing them very well, I guess, because it was it's a red stripe with some amount of decorum. It's you know, you would know from Bar Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Bar Harbor women would wear a billowy, you know, a billowy light, thin red striped pant. You know, it's sort of a, not necessarily après swim, but maybe, you know, it's for the hot, steamy weather.
Yeah, it's for warm weather, beach adjacent.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, Manchester is, you know, the town's name is Manchester by the Sea, but that's only for the effete. I still call it Manchester. But yeah. He see, Adam assumes everything I do is clownish. I fell right into his clownish trap. Actually, you know, my new, I shouldn't say my new, my only and new rap song that is about the, let's see, the loss of the original Butterfinger.
A sad occasion, by the way.
A really sad occasion. They're idiots. It comes, my rap song about it comes out, I can't remember if it's this week or next week. I can't remember anymore, but it's very, very soon. It's something I've been working on in, on the podcast. I've worked with some rappers on writing and producing a rap song. And, it's really achieved. It's going to sweep the nation. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, so for listeners who don't know, Butterfingers, which are, you know, arguably one of the best, you know, OTC candies there are.
In my top five, definitely.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's the crispy, crunchy nougat that I especially appreciate. It's been bought by a different company. And at first, the way I found out was that I bought some Butterfinger, the really small ones, the Butterfinger chips, and I popped one or two in my mouth, and they tasted disgusting. And I was like, well, maybe I just got a bad one, and I tried again. It was horrific. And then I thought, well, you know, they must be out of date or something, must have expired. And when I eventually looked at the bag that I was eating out of, there was a alarming red corner that they had, you know, put on the bag, this red decorative corner, and on it, it said, new improved recipe. And you will find that it is not improved in any way. It's absolutely disgusting. And it turns out it was bought by a different company. And they think they've done the right thing. They say that, oh, people just don't like change. No, they don't like change when you go from eating a delicious Butterfinger to eating mud. Yes. They don't like change.
That's not a good, yeah, it's not change for the better, right? That's a problem. We're talking with Paula Poundstone, who has two shows coming up next week here in Maine. On Friday, September 6th, she'll be at the Stone Mountain Art Center, and on Saturday, September 7th, at the Criterion in Bar Harbor. Now, one last thing on the podcast.
I must be the luckiest person in the world, by the way, that I'm not only going to Maine, but to perform at two of my favorite venues back to back. There'll be no living with me after that.
They are both really, really good venues. You know, the Criterion's a little closer for us, but the Stone Mountain Arts Center is just a wonderful venue for performances.
It's crazy, that place, the Stone Mountain Arts Center. It's Carol Noonan, who's a musician, hated the life of, you know, of traveling around in a van with musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And so she turned her barn into a venue.
She did it the absolute correct way out there.
Oh, my gosh. It's great. I think, you know, as an audience member and a performer, what you benefit from is, you know, her experience as a musician. Is like she knew all the good things to do. To make the venue great. So anyways, I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, you know, who doesn't want to go to Bar Harbor? Find me the person who doesn't want to go to Bar Harbor. They don't exist.
September in Bar Harbor is a great time of year. And the Criterion Theater is just a beautiful, the Art Deco touches in that they've restored it to. It's a beautiful looking space.
It's going to be great. I was there, I think, either once or twice before. I can't remember anymore. My old neighbor, Foster Struppel, is in Bar Harbor, by the way, in case you're looking for her.
One last thing about the latest podcast. Again, coming to your defense, Adam referred to your landline as being stupid. And yeah. I, as you know, having to do interviews fairly frequently, I am the first to jump to your defense on that one, that thank you for keeping a landline.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have a crinkly sound while we're talking. We sound like we're all, you know, almost in the same room together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. People, you know, the cell phone is overrated in every way. And by the way, when I say cell phone, of course I mean flip phone.
Now, you're coming to Maine next weekend. You're in, I believe, New Jersey this weekend. Have you gotten travel down to a science for yourself?
You know, I'm pretty good at it. I got to tell you something. After, as I told you, I've been doing this for 40 years. Mm. It was only a couple of months ago that I had this idea to write in black magic marker a large letter J on both sides of each of the pieces of luggage that I check. And it has changed my baggage life. You know, they go, many bags look alike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? Many bags really do look alike. And so as I'm standing there at the baggage claim, I'm always trying to find, like, my red bag doesn't have four wheels. It only has two wheels. It's a little older. And my dark green bag looks the same as they really do. Many bags look alike.
And absolutely.
So I'm standing there trying to look at the minute features. and I've had the experience of taking someone else's bag. One time I was almost to the hotel when the person called me, and they had my bag and I had their bag. And I also had the experience not very long ago, which is that I was sort of one of the last people down to the baggage claim. And as I'm walking towards the baggage claim, I can see from a distance another passenger with my bag in his hand. And the only reason I saw it from a distance was because of the large letter J that I had written on the outside of the bag. That's my genius travel tip for everyone.
That's some great life advice right there.
It really, because you know, when I thought of my assistant was like, "Well, you're going to write on the luggage," like I was making this beautiful luggage unattractive. Okay, luggage attractive is not its job. I don't care if it's attractive. It has nothing to do with it. And I know some people put like a yarn or something. This is just, you cannot miss. And I can send someone else to get the luggage if I had to, too. I go, you can't miss it. Got a large J on both sides of the bag. And by the way, one J I accidentally wrote backwards. So it has a large dyslexic J on one side.
I would rather have ugly luggage that I can find than beautiful luggage that somebody else takes.
Well, precisely. The point of the luggage is to protect the stuff inside of it, not to be decorative. Now, of course, I've told everyone what my luggage looks like, and I'll never find it again.
Well, I think you can lay claim to anybody else that does it at this point, they can't use the letter J.
Yeah, definitely not.
Pick another letter.
J is mine.
J is Paula Poundstone's. Paula, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us, and looking forward to seeing you in Maine next weekend.
All right, thank you so much. Take care.